If you would, turn to John 1:19 through 34. This is about John the Baptist and his mission. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray you bring these words to us and allow them to enter into our minds. And Lord, I pray that what I talk about makes sense and people understand, and hopefully they walk away with a message about you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. This is the testimony of John when the Jewish leaders sent priests and temple assistants from Jerusalem to ask John whether he claimed to be the Messiah. He flatly denied it. "I am not the Messiah," he said. "Well then, who are you?" they asked. "Are you Elijah?" "No," he replied. "Are you the prophet?" "No." "Then who are you? Tell us, so we can give an answer to those who sent us. What do you have to say about yourself?" John replied in the words of Isaiah, "I am a voice shouting in the wilderness, preparing a straight path for the Lord's coming." Then those who were sent by the Pharisees asked him, "If you aren't the Messiah or Elijah or the prophet, what right do you have to baptize?" John told them, "I baptize with water, but right here in the crowd is someone you do not know who will soon begin his ministry. I am not even worthy to be his slave." This incident took place at Bethany, a village east of the Jordan River where John was baptizing. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, there is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one I was talking about when I said, 'Soon a man is coming who is greater than I am, for he exists long before I did.' I didn't know he was the one, but I have been baptizing with water in order to point him out to Israel." Then John said, "I saw the Holy Spirit descending like a dove from heaven and resting upon him. I didn't know he was the one, but when God sent me to baptize with water, he told me, 'When you see the Holy Spirit descending and resting upon someone, he is the one you are looking for he is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' I saw this happen to Jesus, so I testify that he is the Son of God." May this reading of the Holy Word be wise to us. Water. We can't do without it. Boy Scouts, one of the first things they teach is the rule of three. That's, you can last about 3 minutes without air, about 3 days without water, and about 3 weeks without food. Remember that. It could come in handy. You know, one of the things I always like to do, and I don't get to do it much, but is ever in the wintertime especially, be on the beach looking at the ocean and looking at the power. It's just kind of, you know, it's cold. It's kind of darker looking because the sun probably isn't shining. And the waves crash to the shore, and you just realize how small you are and how powerful God is just from that cold wave hitting that beach. Now, I've always loved water. I don't really know why. It wasn't like I was brought up on it necessarily, as a lot of people. I remember my grandmother had a chance to buy a couple lake lots down at Skipper's. And it was a pretty good deal, she said, but she wanted a Plymouth instead. So we bought a Plymouth. We're probably using it as a drink can now somewhere or another, and those lots are still there. But I had friends, and they had places down on Lake Norman or Lake Hickory or wherever. And it's kind of ironic. Like I said, my father, he was one of the few people I know. I think he could swim because he was in the Merchant Marines, but I'm not sure because I never seen him swim a lot. And my mother, I have never seen swim. I think that had a lot to do with she couldn't get her hair wet because it wasn't Friday yet. But that's a whole other story. So it wasn't like I came from a family that had water involved in it a lot. 250 miles from the shore here. But like I said, I've always loved water. Two of the closest times, of course, my sister may argue this point because in their eyes, they see there's been many times that I should have died. But two of the closest times that I realized were two times I almost drowned in West Virginia on different occasions, quite a few years apart, in the waters up there. I am wary of West Virginia water. I do not go play in it much anymore. But because of my love affair with water, also come about my love affair with boats. Now, I don't know how many of y'all have a boat or have ever owned a boat. It's really an acronym, and it stands for Bring Out Another Thousand, B-O-A-T. And they say if it's a saltwater boat, it has two T's because it says bring out another 10,000. So to pick an expensive hobby, I'm all about that, it seems like, and so had quite a few. I remember my last semester in college, as I left with a ski boat that I had purchased that summer as I went back for the fall semester, and I had it hooked to the back of my truck, and my mom says, what are you going to do with that? And I said, well, it's still 90 degrees outside. It's not time yet. Actually, what it did, it served me very well. As I pulled it home at Thanksgiving, I was able to load a couch and a couple chairs in it too, so it made a really good trailer. I wouldn't say I wasn't studious, but I had a lot of options that last semester, and boating was one of them. And with boats always come stories, and most of the time the story with a boat, if anybody's ever owned one, is how it left me stranded or what happened to it, why it didn't crank. That particular boat one time, I remember we were as far out as we could on a lake that nobody lived on. And it vapor locked, and we had to. Y'all know Jack LaLanne? He's famous for pulling so many boats on his birthday. Well, three college kids pulled one about 2 miles, one pulling in the front with the rope tied around his waist, another two pushing in the back. But we got it to the dock. But the story I'm going to tell today, and I think Susan Pugh knows this story, she likes it. I'd gone to an auction, and I know that surprises a lot of you because I'm bad about going to auctions, but at an auction for something totally different. And there was this 1973 brown Dixie ski boat. And as a kid, I had one of my friend's dad had a Dixie, and I said, you know, that was a good old boat. And at that point in time, was a rarity. I did not have a boat at that exact moment in my life, which was not many times that has not happened. And so when it come time to auction, I bought it. And I remember pulling it home, and of course my wife asking me, what are we going to do with this? Like many times she's asked when I've come home from auctions. And I said, well, I said, our children are getting of age. Jacob, I think at the time, was about 8. Maddie was about 5. I said, they need to learn about water. They need to learn to enjoy it, how much fun it can be. We're blessed with all these lakes. I said, one of my fondest memories growing up as a child was on water. And so it was a good boat. It had one minor problem. If you cut it off, there's a good chance it wouldn't crank back. But that's typical of a boat. So you don't turn it off once you get it running. You just make sure the propeller's disengaged. But this boat was notorious for taking us somewhere. We'd stop, and then I'd have to go back and get it a couple days later. And every time you go back to it, it would crank. But for some reason or other, if you cut it off after you run it, it wouldn't. Come to find out there was a spark plug wire that had got pinched by a valve cover. Then when somebody put a valve cover back on, and so it would drop one cylinder when it got hot. And some of the Stewart boys in the back, the mechanics, kind of understand the philosophy of this. But we finally got it fixed. And by the time we figured out what was wrong and got it fixed, it was late one, well, it was actually early October, but late one fall. And I was done with that boat for the year. We had had it out, winterized it enough, it could be put up for the year. But my son, who loves water, so it passed down to him, said, come on, Daddy. He was about 10. Said, come on, Dad, let's take it out one more time because now the thing's fixed. Let's just, me and you, go up to the lake and take it out on a Sunday afternoon. And I picked it up that Saturday. I said, okay, against my better judgment, you'll do things for your children that you shouldn't do. And as we were going, it always had a hitch on it that I never did like and said, one of these days I'm going to replace that hitch. It fit on the ball a little funny. There's a lot of different ball hitches, but this one was an older one I didn't like. But I did have the safety chains on, which I thought was smart and what you should do for a quick trip to the lake. But as we went up Sharon School Road going to Lake Hickory, and as it turned into Paul Payne, I don't know how many of y'all know, there's a pretty good hill that drops off right there. And as we proceeded down that hill, I happened to glance in my rearview mirror, and I didn't see the boat. And then I looked in my side mirror, and I saw the boat. So I decided, and we were going along pretty fast, that I would get in front of it with my pickup. And after one good hit by the boat into the back of my truck, I decided the boat, which I didn't pay but about $2,000 for, wasn't worth the damage it was getting ready to do. So I pulled back over. Just so happened the trailer and the boat were perfectly matched. And it was just as level as you'd ever want as it passed me. Now, whenever a trailer comes loose, and I don't know many how many of y'all have had this happen in your life, for some reason or another, it goes faster than the vehicle once it's loose most times than the vehicle goes. And there happened to be a bottom down there. You can still go by there today. And there's a fence. And right down near the bridge, which we were heading towards, there is about a 14-foot gate. And just so happens that there was a man out there, I'm pretty sure it's Keith Sherrill, was raking hay and had left the gate open. And believe it or not, I don't know to this day, because I don't think I could drive it through there, that boat went through that gate. Never touched either post. Never hurt the barbed wire, nothing. Now, the bad part about this is, once it went through the gate, there happened to be a creek there. And it had a pretty formidable bank. And it's pretty deep if you ever go over and look. And it liked about 3 feet making it to the other side. And we got to watch our boat launch up in the air and then stab into the other bank. The tongue of the trailer went about probably 4 or 5 foot deep into the other bank along with the bow, and it kind of bent it backwards a good bit. And I'm sitting there kind of horrified. And of course, Jacob's in the back seat. And by this time, we've come to a stop and he's gotten out and he's kind of leaning between the two seats and, you know, to my right. He goes, wow, Dad, I only see stuff like that in the movies. Of course, I look at him and say, shut up and get back and sit down. So needless to say, that was probably not one of my better days. But ironically, nobody got hurt. I didn't have to fix another man's fence. I did have to figure out a way to get that boat and trailer out of the creek. Luckily, I happen to have a few toys that I can use, and one of them is a telescopic loader, and we were able to fetch it and put it on another trailer and get it out of there. I tell that story, like many other ones, to realize that what I thought, and still do think, is a bad thing, it could have been a lot worse. I'd have hate for somebody to have been meeting me. And even though I thought I had it hooked up good, and I had the safety chains on it, it ended up breaking the strap that held the chain on, and that's one of the reasons it got away, because it was an older trailer. I did everything I thought I could do that was right. But no matter what you do, no matter what you try, things are going to happen. No matter how much you do to insulate yourself, protect your family, take care of the things you need to take care of, a lot of things in life happen to you out of your control. So the question is, when the times are good, do you say you're lucky? Or do you say you're blessed? And when the times are bad, do you say, man, I sure feel I'm unlucky? Or do you say, I guess I'm not blessed? Because you got to have both ways in it. And so the truth be known, even though I'll have a lot of friends tell me that I'm lucky, I think the reason they think I'm lucky is I get into crazy circumstances, but somehow or another I end up getting out of them. And if I do, it's because I'm blessed. So no matter how many boats you run in creeks, or no matter how many things go wrong, no matter how bad the day gets, Jesus is your Savior, you're blessed. Somebody ought to say amen. Because we are blessed if he's our Savior. And we're going to have bad days, and we're going to have awesome days. No matter which one, we're blessed. And he does watch over us. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He reneweth my strength. He guides me along the right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the valley of death, I will fear no evil, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You have prepared a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You welcome me as a guest, anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. You're blessed. You're not lucky. You're not unlucky. You're blessed. Thank you, Jesus. Dear Heavenly Father, dear Lord, thank you, Lord, for allowing me to come find you. Thank you, Lord, for blessing me, for protecting me, for blessing my family, for protecting them. Thank you, Lord, for giving us all the love that we do not deserve, the everlasting life that we cannot achieve without you. Inflation hasn't caused that to go up one bit, dear Lord. It's still free, laying in our fours. The greatest blessing we can receive. I pray each and every one in here and outside this church either knows or comes to know that blessing. It's not luck that we have eternal life. It's blessings that you give us eternal life. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.